NRP S2 E51 Organization. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me again, Ben, and over here's my buddy Ian. Say hi, Ian.
Hi, Ben.
You don't get that peanut, you just get a cashew.
That's fine. I decided to be a little bit rebellious this episode.
Ah. Well.
Yeah.
So anyway. So what did you want to talk about this week, Ian?
I wanted to talk about organization, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Is that okay, Ben?
I don't know. Let me get
that door, Ben.
I don't know. Let me get my pocket planner out here and a little Palm Pilot and schedule you for a meeting to talk about that. Go ahead.
This is hell, Ben. Don't open that door, Ben. But yeah, organization. I personally am OCD a little bit about it. How important do you think it is?
I think it's pretty important, because otherwise everything just gets all lost, and it's like, where'd I put this? I don't know.
I put everything in one folder.
You mean you have one folder? I put everything in a pile on my desktop, and then eventually drag it into a folder, and then eventually drag that folder into a hard drive, and then when that hard drive fills up, I drag that hard drive into a folder on another hard drive, and the cycle continues.
Well, I think it's important to organize things, and there's, like, some things that you can use that'll organize it for you, like iTunes or Winamp. I don't really use iTunes a lot for my media. How well does that work for you?
It works, except when it doesn't. The last problem I had with it, like, I usually tell iTunes to, you know, have the stuff in the library, and sometimes it'll have a habit of moving stuff around. I mean, I'd much rather... I would like to maintain a library, but then, you know, it's like you have a bunch of files in a folder and you want to copy them into iTunes, but then iTunes is like, I will snap these files out of this folder and put them in my own. It's like, that's great, except for, you know, when it decides, oh, hey, I'm going to just systematically delete all your podcasts like it did. It deleted everything I had except for stuff that wasn't in the iTunes library, and some of those shows don't exist anymore, so I will never get them back. So, yeah.
That sucks, man.
It happens. I mean, that's why you gotta be careful with automated things and, you know, have backups regularly and try not to let anything just go, I will destroy your entire library. So.
Yeah. Well, there's things like iTunes and Winamp, like I said, but there's not one that really exists that's gonna do everything for you. There's things like your art files and project files. You pretty much gotta organize that all on your own. I mean... I'm sure there is tools, which I really didn't put down in the notes, but there is like a lot of project management tools out there that can sort of organize for you, but those could get pretty pricey, I'm sure.
It depends on how automated you want things to be and how intelligent you want the thing automating your stuff can be. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm sure you can rig something up yourself, but then must delete entire iTunes library. Did I do good? Beep boop.
Yeah, exactly, man. And if you're going to go the route of just, like, organizing everything yourself, then it's a good idea to pretty much plan out, like, a basic structure and a skeleton of organizations earlier on, because then when you have thousands and hundreds of thousands of files and folders, it's, like, really hard to change that later on, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Changing stuff after the fact, that's always fun.
Yeah, and... pretty much when I try to organize things, even if I do have things in separate folders, like with the naming conventions, I try to make sure that, like, if you need to move things around in folders, I just want to make sure nothing gets, like, overwritten, you know? So I try to have, like, a project-specific names, you know?
Project-specific, also date-specific sometimes if you just, you know, it's like, if a hard drive dies and you're like, here's this backup after I saved it, and here's the stuff that was there... during the, you know, the fallout and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. And it's a good idea to have a good naming convention so that it's easier, you know, like if you're searching in, your operating system using like a search function. That or the software, it's good to be able to find it, you know? Okay, it's also important, we'll talk about this a little bit more later on, but it's good to have your files or media or whatever properly tagged with metadata or EXIF. You know about that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always great when somebody sends you a song and it's like, oh, hey, cool song. Or, you know, or like they give you a song. I love when somebody shares a song that's from a file sharing site and it's like, oh, hey, here's this rare album where this person covered a song that was recorded long after they died, you know? And it's like, well, where'd that come from? Oh, no, it's not really them. It's somebody else. It's like, you people are... Come on, yeah. Now.
Yeah, that's definitely obvious, but it's also good for organization and whatever software that you use to organize it or maintain it. It's good to have good metadata for it so you can...
Well,
you know,
so you can search it, and also, you know, like a lot of library programs now will, you know, reference IMDb and other places to pull out metadata. So it's like, oh, you have this James Bond movie. Well, here's the entire cast list, and here's the year it was released, and here's all the information, and here's the cover art. Now, there's all kinds of variations on programs that pull this stuff out, and sometimes it works great. Sometimes you go, no, that's not Nancy Sinatra. That's Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of places, like you said, if it's a really rare track, you want to make sure that you know what the information is beforehand because they're not going to know pretty much, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's always fun when you do the missing art, you know, cover art in iTunes, and it does its thing, and it's just like, I don't remember this album from the 1960s that's in black and white and has somebody on fire. I don't think that's this album. But then again, Pat Boone might have been a little wild back then. I don't know.
Yeah, but going back to what you said about the IMDb, what are the different various like databases that you know about? I mean, the main one that I know about is like Gracenote and like Amazon. I think they have some kind of music database.
Yeah, iTunes is trying to do its own thing like that. I know Amazon has stuff. You know, Rhapsody. There's pretty much any place that'll list off, you know, an existence of records. I mean, things can be plugged in to recognize, you know, listings on Spotify or Last.fm for music, or like if you're buying movies, you know, it can search movie databases on different sites and whatnot. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have a nice cross-section of the two, so it's like you go through an automated thing to find missing cover art or missing metadata, and then you go, no, this is wrong. Let me try option B. Oh, that's right. That's Johnny Cash.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I've noticed, like, the developers of those databases, they're, like, definitely pretty strict about, like, what software that they let use them. You know, it's hard to find them in a lot of software, you know. I'm sure they're licensed pretty heavily, I guess.
Well, you know, it's like, just like anything else, it's like they want to be known for being used by reputable, you know, organizations. It's like, oh, hey, right. The Pirate Bay wants to use us to fill out their metadata. How's that going to reflect on us when we want to try and get information on the latest movies? I wonder.
Yeah, that's definitely true, man. But yeah, moving on, I guess I should just mention, me personally, I like to have like a main root folder that all your media is contained in, you know? I don't want to have like my music on the desktop and then have like a documents folder in another computer or something, you know? I mean, I'm sure if you have a lot of files and you really can't put everything on one hard drive, I'm sure then you sort of got to split things up. But if you have enough space, I try to have it in a root folder so you know where it is, you know?
I try to, you know, divvy things up a little bit because it's like my main hard drive is the smallest one because it's the one that came with my computer. And it's like some people now, they might be going for like an SSD and you want to get the smallest one that, you know, because it's more affordable. So you just put applications and like the local home directories of things that recently got downloaded or whatever. But then it's like your music library gets stored on an external or another drive in the system, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of how I went. I had this small built-in drive, and then I got a bigger drive, and then I put all my music on that, and then I got a bigger drive, and I try to put all my projects and video stuff on that, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, whatever folder that you have it in, it's I think it's definitely important to make sure it pretty much stays there permanently, so that, like, your drive letter never changes, or that, like, the path never changes, so that everything's referenced correctly and stuff. So I try not to keep everything on a external hard drive, because if you plug that in a different USB, a lot of times it'll change even the drive letter, you know.
That's kind of a, I mean, that can happen with like iTunes, where it's like, oh, I lost this entire library, or I can't find these files that were on this one drive. And I don't know, it's a particular problem with external hard drives, especially since externals can be a little flaky. You know, they're a good thing to have when you need to have it be portable, but when you need to be storing stuff, I kind of like to just have my stuff in my machine, because especially with the read-write time, it's a lot faster if it's in the machine than, hold on, USB 2. No, yeah. Hold, wait, nah, never mind.
USB 1.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
BBC 1, BBC 2.
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby. Anyway, I'm making Austin Powers jokes. Can you tell I'm tired?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely tell. Don't worry, you'll be in Sandland soon.
Go on. Please tell us about organizing your media library. I'm sure I will be totally wide awake for all this. I'm being a dick. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, that's okay, man. No, I was just going to say that I try to keep, like, if I have a main media folder or, like, a main music folder, I try to keep that at, like, the root of my hard drive, because some software, I've encountered it where they're like, oh yeah, this path is too long for this one file here, because it's in like 20 different folders, you know.
I like when you get a media player and it's just like, oh well, we went and read your automatic, you know, drive that's in this one location. You have one song in there. Don't you have more than this? Well, yeah, in my actual music library. And if you gotta cross, you know, add, like, okay, here's my music library, now I gotta add my video library, and this could take a while.
Yeah, that's definitely, like I said, for me, if I have a main media folder, I try to divide, like, I have subfolders of, like, audio, video, documents, a games folder I actually keep, and, like, a software folder, you know. Do you keep like a games folder or software that you keep just archived, you know?
Not really. I mean, I've got the applications folder, but then on my dock I've got stacks with shortcuts to all the different things. So I've got, you know, the AV apps folder, a creative apps folder, games, browsers, and chat apps. That's, you know. I mean, I don't really go into documents too much, but I know a lot of programs like to dump stuff there, so.
Yeah, well, I try to keep, like, for my software, I try to keep archives of that, even, like, if I just download Winamp or Firefox or whatever, I'll keep that as an install, you know, if for some reason I have to do an offline install of it, you know, it's nice to have, I guess.
Yeah, I tend to do that sometimes, and then you go, oh no, this hard drive is full, what things do I need to delete? Let's see, there's this image file, there's this install zip, exe, what the...
Yeah. Well, hey, I was talking to you earlier. I bought one of those 4 terabyte hard drives, and I got mine for like 160. So that's pretty crazy, huh? How the prices of just like the regular hard drives are really coming down, you know?
Yeah, I remember when my like 86 gigabyte hard drive was like $200, and that was an external. It's like, wow, man, I got a deal this time. And I was like, yeah, huh? Oh, how the winds of time have changed.
Yep. And each of these folders that are meant for a certain type of content, like music or video, it doesn't have to be like totally specific to that file type. Like, you can still have cover art images in your music folder, you know. But I just try to keep folders where that's like the main thing it's supposed to be for, you know. I'm sure if you have like a video archive folder and, you know, you have like DVDs on there, and you like to keep the content for those DVDs, and obviously those are going to be different file formats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I try to keep the content that I have for just like entertainment, for media that I'm watching or viewing, or pretty much things that I really don't have the rights to, separate than like my own work that I try to make. So I try to have like a projects folder, and then like an entertainment folder, you know.
Yeah, I have a whole like you know, keeping all my comics archived and keeping, you know, unflattened files and print quality files and all those projects, it's like, man, if my projects folders got mixed in with my music and, you know, movie folders in my library, I would just like, well, this is a good day to forget organization altogether.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have some kind of, like, just main Ben's artwork in his whole life folder?
Not all my stuff, no. I've got different libraries of different things, like all my webcomic stuff. I've got different video stuff, and then stuff got, especially since when I was in art school, I'd have to back up stuff to DVD files, you know, so some of that stuff is on, you know, DVDs that I don't know where they are, or I dumped a lot of stuff on that external hard drive, and therefore I've got subfolders of, here's where everything was October 9th of 2004, you know, and it's like, and here's stuff before I totally did this reset, and here's before this hard drive crashed, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah. That's true. Actually, I didn't think about that. We could talk about some of the tools that, you know, that are pretty decent for backing up stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where do you keep the pornography?
Yeah. Well, yeah, how do you back up your pornography, Ben?
Like anybody downloads anymore. Come on now, Ian. That's why you got that broadband, man.
Yeah, you've never had that where you have a tried and true porn that you want to keep going back and forth to, and you don't. Then you find out, hey, it's not there anymore.
I reached that point with bookmarks a while ago, where it's like, you know, I used to bookmark stuff. You know, well, I used to download references, and then after a while, I was just like, you know, why am I eating up hard drive space with downloaded pictures? This stuff is going to largely be available, and you know, most of the time, I can find stuff again. And nowadays, with stuff like, you know, Pinterest and Tumblr, it's like, it's there. If something exists on the internet, somebody's found it and kept it. Very few things are gone forever.
That's true, man. I was going to say, besides just backing up, I try to have different revisions of files too, like a revision 1 and a revision 2, you know, that's important so you can go back in time if you sort of started messing up your own stuff, you know. Do you try to do that?
Oh man, I can tell you, just renaming files, it's like, okay, I've dumped all these files into this folder as I worked on them, and now I need to name them all by the date, or I need to name them all 1, you know, 1 through 500 or whatever it is at the time. It's like, okay, I'm going to copy this entire folder and now run an auto thing on it. Oh no, it totally got the order wrong and organized them by file type. This whole folder is borked. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that sucks when that happens. If I'm going to rename something, a lot of times I usually try to rename like a copy of it. And then if I'm happy with what it did to the files, then I'll just delete the originals, you know.
I try to delete, you know, stuff that's not necessary anymore, but sometimes, man, you just don't have time, or it's like, every once in a while, it's like, I'll just leave that stuff there, and then the thing that I changed got borked, or something will happen, it's like, I'm glad I have that up that archive from, like, 3 revisions ago. You know, especially when you're turning in a project for something, it's like, I save all stuff if I'm turning it into somebody else. It's like, I need to have that. I need to feel safe.
Yep. Well, what kind of software have you used for backing up stuff?
Well, it depends on the thing. I mean, I've stored a lot of stuff just in folders, and then I started saving bookmarks. I tried Delicious for a while, and I don't know. I kind of didn't really keep updating that. I got Evernote. Didn't really keep up with that. You know, lately it's been things like Pinterest has been pretty good for organizing, and I've got a Circus Ponies notebook, which I use to, you know, just jot down all my ideas, so like if I need to organize it, you know, okay, here's the project plan, and here's, you know, a dump of my ideas and what files I need, and then like here's some images for reference, or, you know, some doodles or different things like that. And then actually like backing things up, it's pretty much been just backing up on hard drives, really. I mean, I've used a few programs, like if my iTunes library got borked, I would copy over my iPod stuff. But, you know, I haven't done that in a long time. It's like, especially now that I've got like Google Music, I use as a as a failsafe, so I put a bunch of my stuff up there, so if I can't connect to my iTunes library, I can connect through that. So
right. Well, if God forbid, your main artwork hard drive crashes or some kind of thing, that you could, some backup that you could go to.
I've got backups on my external hard drives around here somewhere. I mean, that, and then I've uploaded a lot of my stuff to the web. Right. I mean, I should really look into things Carbonite or, there's a lot of off-site backup things, but I'm not a fan of spending money when I don't have to. So I kind of just... Yeah. I've just kind of been playing this game of keeping... I know there's things like getting a Drobo and, having... Dropbox makes things a lot easier, but I haven't paid for a lot of storage space, and there's other stuff out there. It's just, actually doing it is the other thing.
Well, that stuff is so expensive, like Carbonite especially. I mean, I know it's pretty good, but it's like, damn, man.
Well, if your livelihood kind of depends on it, you can always write off as a business expense, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if you're in a business, I guess.
Well, aren't we in the business of making money?
Yeah. Well, I thought you meant just, writing off as a tax on taxes or something. I don't know.
Well, when you're writing out your budget, too, it's like, well, I kind of need this. It's kind of an important thing. And that's, Apple's had that thing with iTunes with packing stuff on the cloud. It's like... Well, you don't ever want to not have your stuff, don't you? It's like, I don't, but...
I guess this, you could just compare it to, an insurance,
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
There's so many awesome ways to back stuff up, but it's also... There's so much money to spend on it.
Right. Now, I guess I was going to talk some about my personal, and you could maybe correlate or give your opinions on, different ways to organize... and structure your content. As far as audio wise, how do you archive your do you have audiobooks or whatever?
I've got audiobooks. I use iTunes, so how it structures stuff, it puts podcasts in their own folder, and then music in another, and audiobooks in another, and then that's all in within the library kind of thing. It's supposed to be organized by the artist, but then I've got some folders where I just dumped a lot of stuff I imported or it's like, I got a bunch of albums, and here they are.
Yeah. Now, do any of those audiobooks, do they come with content, too? Like some kind of DVD content?
Not usually DVD. Sometimes they might have, a PDF or, a cover, but that's about it.
Right. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I try to keep, if it comes in, an MP3 or whatever, I try to have that, and then there's a cover picture, and then the content folder, I try to keep those in the same thing, what about sound? Do you have an environment effects, for if you want to have some background stuff going on in an animation or something? Do you have any of that archived? Say if you're out in nature, birds chirping, or just waterfalls or something, or some spooky alleyway sounds,
So are we talking just general sound effects for projects, or are we talking about one of those, and those white noise generators? Are we talking about one of those?
Well, no, it's just meant more for the white noise, just background, because sound effects, that's more of a pot smashing or something, just short little clips of it. I'm just talking about just tracks that you could put in the background that's not really music,
I tend to try and listen to music. I don't really listen to stuff, because if I listen to birds chirping, after a while I would notice the loop, and it would kind of bug me. And plus, I kind of need something that's kind of keep going. I can't listen to stuff with words when I'm working, because that's just distracting, especially if I'm trying to write. But usually I want to have some sort of instrumental. I like instrumentals, so I usually keep that going.
Well, no, I meant specifically for if you're doing an animation and you're doing a scene out in the wilderness, you're animating or something, and you want to have birds chirping, you got to find that somewhere,
Well, I usually look for that stuff when I need it, so.
Yeah, right. And obviously your music, you let iTunes organize that.
Mm-hmm. It does all metadata, and then also the image tag for the cover art,
Right. Now, I try to have... For my music folder, I try to have organized it by within the music folder, it's organized by artist, then the album, and then whatever MP3s and cover art you have inside of that, you know. I'm sure there's probably ways in iTunes that you can set it up where it does it. You just have a whole folder of albums in your music instead of it being the artist name. But for me, it's easier to find it by artist, you know.
Yeah, I usually browse by artist. I mean, you know, iTunes 11 is, you know, pretty easy to, switch it around the way you want it. Although it also has kind of issues with home syncing right now. My home library, it's like, oh, hey, if you set this up, you can connect to it from your iPhone or your iPad. And it's like, well, it sees it, and it's taking about 3 minutes, and oh, hey, it didn't finish. It doesn't show my music anymore. Well, that's a bummer.
Well, I also try to have a folder for just, like, playlist files. Have you ever seen those, like the PLS or M3U files?
Yeah, I've used those different things. They work better in Winamp because in iTunes, they kind of point to the specific file or whatever, and if you move files around, or you know, it's very hard to recreate or bring back the playlist. I mean, I like using playlists. I use them all the time for different, you know, for different work with it, times when I'm trying to work. Like, you know, I'll have like video game music for one session, and then I'll have like, you know, weird very like, I like going to Walmart and places and Target and buying the generic music CD. Like, we're like, here's the sounds of Paris and here's the sounds of Italy. You know, it's like those are, I don't know. I know they're horrible, but I like them. So they're good to work too.
Well, in my music folder, I have a folder for like playlists just for like if you want to make playlist of like rock and roll or techno or something, and then I have a playlist folder for like radio streams that streams from like the Shoutcast server or whatever, if you're one of those in the talk radio or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, it's good to keep those files around there, because I mean that they only take up like a couple kilobytes for the file, and you know, sometimes it's hard to find that on the Shoutcast server, you know. I don't know.
I don't know. I've had fun rebuilding playlists that, like, you know, my iTunes library got borked and I reinstalled it, and then it's like, oh, hey, it doesn't recognize any of these files because the directory's changed.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with iTunes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I use Spotify now because it's, like, oh, the biggest library of them all. I mean, why not? Although, you know, it's like a free account, so every so many songs you get some talking, and it's like, well, that versus, you know, getting in fights with iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's good because it's like an all-in-one thing, but you do have to mess with it a lot of times, you know?
All-in-one. Well, you know, that's the funny thing. Apple released this. They used to have podcasts and all your videos and all that stuff were in iTunes, but then they released this iOS app for podcasts specifically, and it sucks. It sucks horribly, and I don't use it, and it really made me mad because it's like, oh, you can only play the podcasts that are on the local device. So, like, if you want to listen to a certain show, you have to download it through this app. Oh, that really sucks because I just keep all my stuff on my main computer and then access it through Wi-Fi. So, and I realized after a while, I was like, this thing is horrible, and I can't make playlists of podcasts that are new episodes or ones I haven't listened to yet. And then I realized, oh, I can just uninstall this podcast app, and suddenly iTunes on my device goes back to the way it was.
Yeah.
I know they're trying to make things better, but don't separate all my stuff into different things. I don't want to have to go to an iTunes for my music and then an iMovies for my movies. And
yeah.
I mean, I know there is iMovie, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just, don't do this. Don't do this to me, guys.
Well, why do you still use the Winamp instead of just playing all your content in iTunes, or why do you have VLC?
I don't use Winamp for anything really. Since I'm on a Mac, I mean, the Mac version of Winamp has been kind of, it was an experiment, and now that they're kind of closing down Winamp, it's like, well, you know, it's like, I I use VLC to open stuff that iTunes won't, or if I don't want to have... iTunes likes to add stuff to your library when you open it. It's like, I don't want that. I just want to be able to play this file. I mean, a lot of times you can just hit the space bar and it'll preview the file, but, you know, sometimes if it's a weird format or a long thing or a big playlist, you want to open up in VLC, and it'll open it.
Yeah. Well, talking about, like, radio shows and podcasts, for me, the naming convention for my radio show, I like to have the show name and then like a dash and then the date and then another dash for the title after that, you know. And the only difference for me for the podcasts are pretty much the same way, but except for instead of having the date in the middle, I have the episode number, you know. Mm-hmm. We were talking about sound effects. Do you archive sound effects? I mean, have you done like a little Folly Studio with the microphone tapping on things? You know, or trying to get certain sound effects.
I usually just look up sound effects online because usually somebody with a better mic and better setup and better access to sounds recorded it. So it's like, why?
Yeah. Well, do you keep any of those archived at all? That, like, the free, royalty free ones?
I try to keep them in, you know, things relevant. So it's like, you know, like car noises or gunfire or, you know, effects.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much what I have in the notes here is like, you can organize it by like library folder. Like you say, cars, sound effects, and then you can put another folder for like a specific type of car, I guess, you know, if you want to organize that even more, and then you have all your tracks in there, because you don't want to just have all sound effects folder where it just says track 01, track 325, you know?
Well, I mean, that's why you got to get in the habit of when you get stuff, label that folder, because, you know, it's like, new folder 1, it's like, that's great, 5 years from now, new folder, what was in this? I gotta play all these 1, 2, 3. I don't know any of this.
Yeah. Well, now I guess we could sort of talk up a little bit about just like documents and more of like text related things. Like, do you have just like a PDF folder for like books?
I think I do. I haven't gone to it in a while. When I find like, you know, public domain books, like a lot of art books, or, you know, I get a download, I try to organize stuff. You know, I've got a PDF folder, I've got a sounds folder, I've got, you know, outside of my music library, I've got different places I put stuff. But yeah, I try to organize stuff by, like, you know, what if I get some old magazine from an archive site, you know, I'll have the, you know, dedicated to that magazine and then issues and whatnot. But then you gotta get down to the granular stuff. It's like, when do you make a new folder for stuff and when do you just let each, you know, each thing be in the, you know, in the big one big folder.
Well, so. Yeah. Well, I really don't have many books, but I figured I think it would be cool to organize it by like the genre. Like if you're talking about art books, and then by an author, and then another folder for what book that author does. You know.
Well, I mean, nowadays it's like, now that you've got, you know, Google Books, I believe, and you've got the Kindle app, and you've got, you know, there's all kinds of public domain books that you can download in an app, so you don't have to actually physically organize them. It's just they're displayed here, and you can sort them like a virtual bookshelf.
Yeah. Now, do you collect any comics that you read that you're able to archive or whatever that aren't online? So, I mean, if you're doing like a digital comic book, wouldn't that pretty much be like a PDF file also?
It depends. I mean, certain comic, like certain things, like digital comics, I think there's a comics reader format that's pretty popular for, I don't remember what file format it saves to. You know, there's a lot of, for like ebooks and stuff, there's different formats, like especially like if you've got, you know, if you have a Kindle versus you have a Nook versus you have an iPad, you know, certain formats work, you know.
Yeah.
Some are more like PDF, and some, you know, I always like PDF because it's the simplest and displays the exact same. But, you know, it's like, I mean, there was like a, there's this one webcomic that was available for a while that the artist announced that because they had issues with the publisher, the people that bought the rights to it, and that it was just never going to happen outside of, you know, all their effort was just for naught, really, that they decided to take it offline. So I archive that, and it's just, you know, well, I mean, they uploaded zipped files of all the comics, too, but I also download them, before I found out where the zip files were. But it's like, you know, those are just JPEGs and stuff, so.
Right. Now, as far as programming, if you have a folder for, like, coding and stuff, I like to have a programming folder and then another folder for what language it is, like a C++ or JavaScript, and then you have a folder for the specific project, you know, and then maybe like a resources folder under that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it always kind of depends on what the project is, because some projects might require a mixing of languages, like, you know, you might need to write a plugin for WordPress that could require, like, you know, PHP and JavaScript and MySQL. So it's like...
Yeah, definitely.
So I usually focus more on, like, project stuff, but I try and keep it all, like, you know, in coding sections, and if I can divide stuff up, like, you know, here's a web thing, or here's, like, I'm trying to make an app in this thing, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. I mean, sometimes things just don't fit in that specific type of category, but you gotta just try to do the best you can. Because, well, it's like, sometimes I get confused on things, because there's a lot of times, like you said, I want to try to have organized things that are just, like, pretty much, like, a product on its own that's just, like, an asset. So, like, I have a folder for just, like, general textures that I might want to sell one day. But then there's, like, projects folders that I have specific textures for those projects,
and then you also get redundancies, you know,
it's crazy.
That's, well, I ran into that when I started looking up royalty free music for different projects, you know, and Incompetech.com with Kevin McLeod, he does, you know, he has a lot of great music that you can download for free and use as long as you just credit, you know, him and his site, which I think is pretty awesome. But the problem is, like, I make a project and I dump all this music in it, and then later it's like, well, wait, do I just, you know, use this as one big, you know, collection of his stuff and go back to it? Or do I just use, this is the music that I was using for this particular project because it had a certain playlist of songs. It's like, oh boy, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, like you were saying before, this is pretty much an office work episode. This is, all this stuff is office work. It's not necessarily art, you know?
Well, I mean, it can be an art. And the thing is, like, you can spend a long time just doing office stuff in your studio, and then it's like, oh, hey, I make art in here. I can just draw in Photoshop, or I can sit and draw at my table. It's like, I've been spending a week just, like, organizing this list of to-dos, and, oh, man. I mean, today was just, you know, an editing day, pretty much. So I spent a lot of time typing stuff up for the podcast and, you know, editing things. And then we're recording today, and it's just been like, drawing? What's that?
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, on one hand, you're doing all this organization, and it feels like you're sort of walled in on what you're trying to do. But then it's like, it's sort of like getting out of jail. It's like, what am I supposed to do with my life now, you know?
When you're getting
into the creative stuff.
Well, it's like Red said, you know, it's like, first you hate him, then you get used to him, then you don't know what you're going to do when you get out. And it's like, yeah, I've had days like that where it's like, I've been in the office, and it's like, lately I've been trying to get used to drawing again. It's like, how do relax? How do doodle? Command Z, how fix... No comprende. What error? But yeah, it does pay off in the long run, especially when you start seeing your stuff getting organized. Because when I started using Circus Pony notebooks to organize my, you know, I dump all my ideas, like, I need to make this project, I want to work on this, and then it's like, I would organize it, and then I could start going, okay, this project I'll work on today, and this I need to get done by the end of the week, and this I haven't worked on it, I haven't touched it in 2 years, forget it. You know, it's like, once you actually start seeing the progress, it becomes a lot less abstract. Because, you know, when you're doing a whole day and you're like, I haven't finished a drawing, or I haven't finished a this, but you've got little bits and pieces of stuff done, you know, it's like, well, people can actually, like, connect to my website now. That's good. And this link doesn't send them to a 404 anymore. That's a good thing, too.
Yeah. Not exactly, man. Getting back to the structure, though, I was... A couple other various folders that... some of them I do keep a record or an archive of. Some of them I don't. One thing I like to have is tutorials, which is pretty much the same structure as the... like your book, ebooks or whatever. Other folders I would have would be like a finances folder, legal, maybe marketing, manuals, like if you keep a record of user manuals and PDFs, maybe like a passwords folder, planning, products, maybe some miscellaneous projects folders. Do you keep like a folder for where do you put like a general resume at?
The last time I put together a resume was when I was I tried to come up with my own stationery and office letterhead and crap one time, and I realized this logo does not work, and I spent forever trying to redesign it. And it's like when I had to send somebody an invoice, and I was like, well, I need to make letterhead because it's just like sending somebody a birthday card. I'm an artist. I need to make it myself. It needs to be beautiful and perfect. So, I mean, I try to keep some stuff, like, you know, organized. Like, I've got a folder for some stuff that goes on the blog. I've got the folders for the podcast stuff. And then I've got studio and office stuff somewhere in there. It's been a while. Digital cobwebs, man.
Yeah, I'm still fighting with that, too, is we could do a whole episode of just trying to, how do you figure out the perfect logo, man?
Logos, every time when someone's like, oh, I need you to help me design a logo, it's like, dude, I'm my own logo. I just, like, I'm not I don't think in logo terms. I wasn't a graphic designer, you know? It's like, I was a cartoonist, and I think in character and person, and, like, overall thing, and it's like, designing a logo is just weird to me. And then it's like, you get the font, and you have to find the right font. It's like, oh, no, wait, this one's not free, or you have to pay for it. And it's like, but it's perfect, but, oh, it's also $100, or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, man, I mean, I've spent a lot of time just working on, like, my web presence, my web profile, my, you know, my social sites. It's like, I should have a Tumblr where it's like, I recently restructured my Tumblr, and I made a tag thing for my art, and I was like, I only have one piece of my art on this Tumblr. I need to rectify that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one folder, like I was saying before, I try to keep an archive of is, like, a games folder. Do you ever have any games that are just, like, for your desktop where you downloaded or bought a game and then you just download, like, the .exe file or whatever executable file for it? Your desktop, and then you would install it, but it's good so you don't have to download it again, I guess.
Well, I mean, for, like, old games, like, especially since I'm on a Mac, and every time I find an old PC game that I can get running through something else, I'll keep that in a separate folder from my apps, because it's like, I don't need EXEs in mixing with my app files. What the? That's madness.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, like, on my browser, if I'm playing an HTML5 or a Flash game, I have a little bookmarklet for that, so that way I can just go to, you know, if I have time to kill, I'll just start playing a game of this or, you know, check it out. And I always want to add more to it, because, like, hey, if games are out there to be played and they're free, I'll play them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for me, I try to keep a folder for desktop games, and then a folder for mobile, and then a folder for ROMs, because I do have some ROMs where you have folder for, like, the emulator, and then the actual ROM, and folder for the whatever platform that ROM was for, like, Dreamcast or Nintendo 64, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as mobile, I try to have that organized by platform also, like, if it's for Android or iTunes or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then within all of those, pretty much I try to have a folder for, like, a cheats folder if you have, like, some cheat codes, and then, like, a folder for just, like, general content or, like, mods or, like, walkthrough videos or guides, you know, just anything related to games, you know.
Yeah, I try and just keep stuff, like, project, you know, centric. So if it's like, if I get some, you know, a lot of stuff for a game, like, I mean, granted, for stuff like, when I buy games from Humble, you know, the Humble Store or a Humble Bundle, they'll come with, a lot of times they'll come with the soundtrack, and I'll put that in iTunes, because it's like, that's where I get my music. But, you know, a lot of the times, if it's like, you know, here's some extra art or stuff like that, then it's like, I'd kind of like to try and keep stuff together, you know, based on what it is, so.
Well, do you ever download videos of just, like, a full walkthrough? Because I know, me, I don't buy any of those walkthroughs at the, like, the magazines at the store anymore.
Download? Man, we got YouTube, man. Come on. What do you think YouTube is anymore? It's Let's Plays and...
Yeah, Let's Plays.
Mm-hmm.
You don't rip any of those off there and keep them?
No. Like I said, man, I don't have much hard drive space anymore. I reached a point where I was just like, you know, no, it's going to be there. The Auxcast ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. And yeah, and then their YouTube video or channel gets shut down.
Well, I mean, they've got an award for having like over 2 million visit, you know, viewers or subscribers for like just one of the channels. It's like, come on now. Like, I really have to worry about, oh no, how do they play Rogue Legacy? I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to figure this out if I don't watch their playthrough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Now we could get into a little bit more of something that we both share a lot with as far as art. It's like just a folder for like images. I like to have a folder for like 3D renderings and then like character or environment 3D renderings and then a folder for like background plates where you can use it for backgrounds for 3D stuff or just like anything pretty much, which are either photographs or things that you make by hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then a folder for business cards, a folder for brushes. I'm sure you have a folder of that, huh?
I just install it all into Photoshop or Manga Studio these days. It's like I buy it, I just want to put in the thing that uses it. So that way, right. If I need to reinstall the thing that uses it, it's usually right there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times it's nice because if you have brushes for like different applications and you have to reinstall their applications, I would try to keep an archive of like everything pretty much. And some applications, like I know ZBrush and Mudbox, it takes like a totally different file format and bit depth, and the file format isn't the same throughout every application, you know.
That's why I just keep it in the application that wants it.
Yeah.
I mean, plus I've got a reason why I started blogging and making just lists of stuff in my blogs was, you know, for my own reference and to share with other people. Like, I've got a blog with just a whole bunch of Photoshop brushes. So it's like there's great pencil brushes, there's great pen brushes, there's great texture and oil paint brushes and all kinds of other stuff. And then, you know, just for my own sake, like, there'll be a lot of times I'll be on a forum and people will go, oh man, I need some more brushes. I'm like, well, right here. It's, I made this for you and for me. I give back to people. Yeah. I'm helping.
That's good. Glad for that. Appreciate the help, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you keep an archive of like backgrounds for devices, like a desktop background or mobile background?
For my phone and iPad, I kind of just keep stuff on Dropbox because I kind of stick with a theme. So I, you know, I use this, you know, like right now the theme is the movie Metropolis, you know, Fritz Lang's black and white silent, you know, impressionistic genius. Yeah, you're already fading out while I'm saying this, aren't you?
No.
So, but yeah, yeah. There's that theme. And then for my desktop, I've got a desktop wallpaper thing. I don't remember what app it is, but it's got all my desktops have, like, right now they've all got like autumn trees of like, they're kind of the similar colors, but it's like they're different trees and different photos, but it's kind of an overall theme. So
that's cool. That sounds cool. I have to research that.
Yeah, there's a number of different apps you can, I mean, you can have animated wallpapers. You can have, I mean, have you ever tried a Geek Tool? Or
no.
Or there's Geek Tool and there's Nerd Tool. I can't remember if there's a Mac exclusive one or if they're both fine, but it's a, you can make little like droplets and things, so like you can have the updating time on your desktop, you can have an updating RSS ticker, you can have, you know, a calendar, you can have a whole bunch of things that will update, you know, as time progresses.
Right.
I mean, and you can, and people like to make themes for, you know, just like the people that like to obsessively, like, remember back in like 2004 when the thing was, if you were on a Windows computer, to make it look like OS X?
Yeah.
You know, that was a thing. People made themes and people worked on backgrounds and styling the windows so they look different. And it's kind of like that, but Nerd Tool is one of those things, you know, like you can, it'll show you, like, display your hard drive temperatures and different stuff like that, your CPU usage, you know, stuff. The thing is, it's processor intensive, but, you know, if you're one of those guys like, oh, I'm sitting on 32 gigabytes, man, I'm good. It's like, all right, whatever. Go show that off.
Yeah, well, I've seen that's like old culture, and some forums are just showing off your desktop background, and everybody has all those crazy widgets of like the temperature outside, the time, and everything, you know. Or
like they made blocks. Their own widget that pulls from this website and it does this thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man. But yeah, another thing in the images I like to have is a flat work folder for digital and traditional, and then you could have different folders if you want for like the traditional type, like charcoal or pencil or paintings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like if you scan things in too, it's good, you know. I like to have a folder, we just talked about logos. I try to have logos organized by company and then like the graphic or whatever, you know, because if you're trying to do a logo for, it's usually for a specific company, usually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or software, I guess. And then pretty much related to that is the icons. I'm sure you definitely got to have your icons organized, you know.
Oh yeah, with the beautiful OS 10, it's like, you know, there are people that are like, when a software updates and the big list of what's changed, a lot of reviewers will just say they finally have an OS 10 icon. Oh my gosh, this is, I mean, I know it's stupid, but it's still kind of important. I mean, just, you know, it's one of those tiny things that people get quirked about. Just like, you know, the interface has, like, the scroll bars match the same color as the rest of the application, you know, between windows. You know, small things like that, people, I mean, I've seen people get obsessed with the kerning and letters and stuff, and it's like, you know, this is just right. It's just the way... Designers are like that.
Yeah.
So.
Another folder that I would be more OCD about keeping organized is the photography, and have it organized if you're doing, like, family photos, or if you're doing portraits, or landscapes, or especially panoramas for me, or if you're doing wedding photography, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one that I really don't have hardly any of, and I'm not really sure how you would organize it, but some people do like to design posters and stuff, so you could have some kind of structure for that, you know. And then obviously for me, is another folder would be textures, and I organize it down for like if you have those environment textures for like reflections and stuff, and then you have textures that are like man-made, where it's like if you're scanning in like a brick wall or whatever, or and then you have like natural grass textures or textures that are meant for just like objects, like characters and stuff, and then procedural textures. Everybody can refer back to the textures episodes if they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a folder for templates, which is it has like specific uses for like color palettes or color templates for doing like the Pantone color palette files. And then templates for like design, like if you have templates for like DVD or CD label templates or business card templates.
Yeah,
just like, things for laying out things, you know.
Yeah, you know, different print places require like different stuff, and it's always weird when you go from one printer and they have the bleed stuff set up, and then you go to another and there's a slight difference, and it's just like, if these are come out the same, why do you have a different format? It's like, oh, the spine is actually just printed wherever rather than wherever you place it specifically in this template file, or, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, this is one folder that I'm, like you said, you really don't keep that much of an archive on, but I try to keep like a software folder organized, just for like the executable files. I have a folder for applications, and then the actual like application within that, and then what version that application is, and then you have the exe inside that version, because sometimes I'll keep multiple versions of software in case if something breaks on that version, you know.
Sometimes I'll do that if like there's a big difference between the two, like if one had an older version had a better feature or worked better, or if like for some reason it didn't have auto updates set for a long time, and then it's like, oh, you only have version 1 installed, we're up on version 3 already. It's like, well, I'm going to keep version 1 just to be sure that you guys didn't break this. So
yeah.
But I mean,
so you do have a folder for some programs, huh?
Well, so, I mean, usually I've got an apps folder, and it's so full now that, like, I have to actually open it, because usually with OS 10 you can right-click and then start typing, and it'll pick the, you know, the app, you know, based on your on what you're typing, but mine's so full that it only goes up to, like, the T's that way, and now I have to, like, actually open the folder, and, you know, it's like, some apps, like, a lot of apps put stuff either in the documents or in, there's an applications library hidden away from most people that, you know, it's like, oh, you just hold the option key and there it is, but, you know, there's stuff like that, and I'll have folders for apps that require multiple directories, like Manga Studio requires, you know, a textures directory and different brushes, and, you know, Photoshop obviously has its own thing, so different apps have folders, but, you know, usually it's just an app file.
Yeah.
Until you want to delete it, and then it's like, oh, no, wait, this thing saved a preference somewhere, and you have to track that down, or otherwise it, you know.
Yeah, keeping your applications folder for applications that are already installed, like the start menu pretty much on Windows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have that organized. And then me specifically, I like to have a folder for, like, if you're installing codecs for things like, what is it called, for like the H.264 codecs, or there's a K-Lite codec pack that I like to keep an install of.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And then I like to have a folder for drivers, for like if you have like external DVD-ROM player, or if you have like certain video card drivers. Usually you go to the website to get the specific one, but sometimes for some reason if you have to redo your computer and you can't get online yet, but you need to install it right away, I'd rather have a newer version that's on my computer already instead of going back to the really old version that came with the CD, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the only driver I really fuss with on my computer anymore is my, you know, the tablet driver. And, you know, it used to be more of a problem back when things were bugging out, but I think the biggest problem with that was Safari had an issue with my mouse, and the pressure sensitivity would like to kick out every now and again. Now it's pretty stable, so.
Yeah, and then another folder which I specifically have that most people probably won't is a folder for firmware. I keep some firmware for, like, my camera, and because I use custom firmware for it that I have installed to give the camera extra features, you know.
Mm-hmm. We can make it better, faster, stronger.
Yeah.
We can rebuild him.
Yeah, exactly.
The million-dollar camera.
Yeah, moving on, because I'm trying to get through all this stuff, moving on to the video, keeping, like, your video stuff organized. I try to have a folder for documentaries, like if it's political or scientific, you know. And then I try to have a folder. Like I said, I keep internet videos. Sometimes I'll rip those off and I'll organize those in, like, a YouTube folder, Vimeo, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just personal preference, I guess.
I just don't, because it's hard drive space, and it's usually just easy enough. If I'm what I'm viewing it on, I usually can access the internet anyway. So
yeah, well, I guess it's nice if you don't want to have to worry about the buffering, and you want to get, like, the most, you have a whole series of HD videos from YouTube.
Yeah.
Which people upload, like, tutorial series and stuff, you know.
Yeah. It's a preference thing. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's like with me, it's like, well, I gotta worry about storing that, and then I gotta worry about importing it into my player, and it's like, I'll just go to YouTube. I mean, most of the video organizing, it's like I bring the files in, and then I let iTunes organize things, or like, since I got a Roku recently, I've been letting Plex organize stuff, which I'm still a little confused with on it, but it recognizes my folder, so that's fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was gonna say, pretty much the movies thing would be organized by iTunes or whatever media player that you have, all in one player. But I like to have it just like the file naming. I like to have a title, and then if it's like an HD version, I'll have like 720p or 1080p after the name. And then I'll have a folder for covers, like, or posters, and then a folder for subtitles, because some movies come with subtitles and you need to actually have a subtitle folder for it to play on the movie, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'll remember that.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're watching like a kung fu movie and they don't have it embedded in the video file, sometimes you need to have an external subtitle file, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a folder for music videos, which I've organized similar to, you know, like music. You could organize it down to the artist and album. Do they have music videos where they have multiple songs and for music videos from an album. Usually it's just they just have one music video per album, right?
Not one. It's like they'll have like a number of singles that'll make a video, and sometimes there are some artists that'll do like multiple videos for a song if they don't think it worked right. But you know, I mean, very rarely are some artists do like a concept album that's also video stuff. But it depends on the artist,
right? They're not going to make every song a music video, you know.
Well, not every song is going to be a single either. I mean, but then again, yeah. Some people do like a different version of it. Like, you know, Alien Ant Farm did two different versions of movies. So it's like they really wanted that one to be a hit.
Yeah, I forgot about Alien Ant Farm.
Well, so did a lot of people.
Yeah. I like that song, man. I also have a video folder for screensavers. You could organize that by genre or resolution, because some screensavers you need to have in different resolutions or aspect ratios for different OSs, you know?
Yeah, OS X has a certain screensaver format. I'm not sure. I haven't really downloaded any new ones in a while. Do you download public domain movies and video files, Ian?
No, I've never tried those.
Oh, you can find a lot of those, like, especially since I got the Roku, and there's channels you can add, and a lot of them are like, oh, here are some crappy public domain drive-in movies, and it's like, you know, zombie movies, and, you know, and you know, all kinds of, you know, old westerns, or like, you know, all kinds of old movies that the copyright expired, or, you know, for different reasons.
So that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe you could add in some links on that. I don't know.
I've tried, like, every New Year's, when I don't have anything to do, I tend to do, like, a New Year's Eve stream where I'll just, like, start streaming for 24 hours, so that way if I get bored, I can come in and watch old Godzilla movies that are public domain. I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. I couldn't do, like, 24/7 streams, man. That'd be crazy.
Well, I don't actually sit up and watch it. I set up the playlist, and then I'll watch for a while, and then if nobody's around, I'd go to bed for an hour or two and come back.
So. Oh, no, I just meant, like, live streaming, like, my own apartment or something, you know, 24/7.
Like Chris Brillo?
Weird, yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, I try to have my televisions folder organized as best I can. I had that organized by show and then season. And then within the season folder, I have the file names for the video files are show-season-episode. And then if you have a title for it, I think it's important to have a title in the name instead of just season 1, episode 2, and you don't know what it was about, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, that brings the question is, like, do you put that in the metadata or the file name? And it's like, some programs don't like you to put it in the file name. That screws with them, and they change it.
So. Yeah. Well, and then I also have a folder for tutorials and stuff, and you can have that organized with the series and author and stuff. But as far as getting to, like, I was going to talk next about just, like, general organization tools and stuff and file tagging tools. It's hard to find, like, files that work with, like, MP4s and tagging. Or, like, if you're working with AVI files, because I think AVI has, like, limited metadata in there that you can tag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could start talking about the file tagging tools. One I know for Windows, it might be for Windows and Mac, I don't know, but it's called MetaX, where you can tag, like, MP4 files, and you could actually put in a season number and an episode number for your television shows, and then you can put various metadata in that. The AVI, I think there's, like, really nothing that you can put in there.
Yeah.
That you can tag with, you know?
Mm.
And if you have other video formats, which are probably even more limited out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, anymore, like, a lot of formats are trying to add, you know, meta tagging because it makes them more searchable for people that use them and for also people that share them. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a MetaX. I haven't used it in a long time because I didn't really go through a phase of, like, I've got a bunch of DVDs, but I haven't really brought them into my computer because it's like, well, I've got the physical DVDs. I don't need to have my entire library taking up physical space in my drive. So, I don't know. I mean, I've used that when I tag the podcast, I like to use Tagger. It's a real quick tagging. You know, I think it's designed for like MP3s, and I don't know if it does video or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Tagger is a good one. I didn't have that on the list. There's a similar program just called Tag, I believe, for Windows. MP3 Tag, I think, is cross-platform. That's like the main one I think people use for MP3s. I think you can do some limited MP4 tagging in there, but I think you have to do some kind of scripting or something with it. I don't know. Meta Editor, that's one that's mainly for images. Tagging the EXIF or image metadata. EXIF tool, you can do that's it's mainly for images, but it has things that you can tag for music and stuff. Different things like the software for tagging stuff. Some will have everything. It can read everything, but it only has limited writing support for the metadata, you know? XWMX is another one. I believe you can tag stuff in Adobe Lightroom, and it, you can organize stuff based on the tags with that. Have you used Lightroom? And there's another one from Adobe called Prelude. I think you could tag a lot of stuff in there, too.
Well, I mean, I'm not a big photo guy. I mean, I've used... I mean, organizing stuff, the most organized for photos I've come was iPhoto, and it's kind of chugs a little bit, because, you know, like I said, when I used to save images from the web a lot more, and then I kind of stopped, and I kind of need to clear out my big pile of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Another one is called MetaDigger. That one, I think, is cross-platform. But just getting into some general organization tools that you can use. Media Monkey is a popular one. Flex Media Center. Ember Media Manager. And then obviously iTunes you can use. Have you ever used TuneUp for iTunes?
I have used a number of things for tagging. I mean, I think I used TuneUp. I think I've used another one. And then there's... I heard talk of one that's good, but it's a pay service because it links to... You know, it searches a lot of pay sites, but I don't know. I've got TuneUp, and then... Oh, I forgot I had some duplicate cleaners. Those are important.
Yeah.
Leewo Tunes Cleaner, I've used that one. TuneUp. TV Row, which turns the computer into, like, a media browser thing.
Okay.
Wallpaper Wizard, which does that thing I was talking about before.
But yeah, there's... VLC and Winamp, you can organize as some basic organization tools. VI Media Manager, Synth A5, File Folder Organizer, Action Outline, Leap. Have you heard of Leap?
Not sure if I have.
There's Fences, Media Man, Jangle, MP3 Organizer Pro. You've heard of XNView. That's good for organizing photos, and InFanView. Have you heard of those?
Yeah, I probably have. It's getting late for me, man.
Picasa. And then, like you said, the Picasa's, iPhoto.
Yeah, Picasa is kind of like Flickr, isn't it? It's like a web service tied into an app.
Right. I think you could do a lot of organization and renaming and stuff, I think, and scripts with the Adobe Bridge. I guess we could get into the file renaming tools just for renaming things. FileBot is a good one. The Renamer. Advanced Renamer is one that I mainly use because you could put like custom actions and you can actually code in like different scripts for it to rename things, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, if this file has this title, if it's done by this date, reorganize it by this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when you have a folder of stuff and renaming it, man... That is a headache. It's like, I will just run this program on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, automation with renaming, it definitely pays for itself in productivity, you know? Instead of spending, like, a whole day trying to rename a folder by hand, you know?
Yeah. Now, as long as we're talking about renaming and organizing stuff, I'm going to mention Hazel. Which is an OS X app where you can set conditions and it will, you know, like, every 3 days... You know, clean my desktop, and every thing that's on the desktop that hasn't been opened in a week, or, you know, put it in this folder, and you can tell, you can set a lot of conditions. You can say, of my downloads folder, take every image .dmg file and put it in a folder, take every MP3 and put it in a place, and some stuff you can say, like, you know, delete these files and keep this thing clean for me. So it can do some of the basic, you know, cleaning of, like, if you have a desktop that's always cluttered or a downloads folder that's always cluttered, you move stuff around. And if you always want to have, you know, one folder updated with, you know, like, if you download stuff every day and you want to say, if I've watched this video, get rid of it. If I haven't, you know, don't do anything yet. You can put all kinds of conditions in.
That sounds cool.
I think it's like $25. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I've looked at it. I mean, I found a free program that somebody was writing at the time called File Actions that kind of did the same thing, but it wasn't as programmable or as smart, and I kind of only used it once or twice, and then I think it kind of petered out.
Right.
So.
Now, obviously, you can do, like, custom renaming yourself if you really want to get into the coding side of it with doing batch or bash scripting in Windows and Linux, and then using Apple Automator or Apple Script.
Apple Script, Automator, and also, like we said before, there's Quicksilver and a couple other programs you can use them to launch script files or search things. I mean, also, you know, talking about searching real quick, you know, OS X comes with Spotlight that'll search for things, and then I got an application recently called Pathfinder, which is a replacement for the Finder, which is kind of like Windows Explorer in Windows. And the Finder, you know, they've boosted Finder a little bit since between this version of OS X and the last one. But Pathfinder, it has a terminal built in that you can bring in and drop out if you want. You know, it's like, oh, I need a terminal. There it is. You know, and then there's also, you know, you can search things. You can have a little stack folder where it's like you drag stuff to this thing, and then you go to this folder that you need to, and you pull out everything that was in that stack. You know, there's little all kinds of little... It's basically the Finder on steroids. It's like, well, do I want this to do it? Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty nowadays of both operating systems of Windows and Mac, is you can also do lots of custom things with them to change the UI, and you can pick things from, like, the other operating system that was the what you really liked about it, and get the best of both worlds, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, plugins and stuff, like, you know, there's Parian that'll open, you know, make it so OS X can open up different video formats and whatnot, but one thing I always recommend is Write Zoom. It's basically, you know, when you maximize a window in Windows, it just fills up the whole screen?
Yeah.
On OS X, it doesn't do that for some reason. I don't know what the reason is, but the idea is that it's supposed to maximize it to, like, some sort of ratio, I guess, of how much desktop space you have. So when you click maximize, it makes it a little bigger or does something, moves it around, and it's just like, what? I found this on a blog where they're just like, yeah, we love Max, and we don't know why this exists. Who wants that? So there's you know, the Write Zoom that, like, you install it, and there's a thing where you had to add a permission to, like, make it run, you know, so it changes stuff or whatever. But it's like, you install it, and now every time I maximize a window, it takes up the full screen like it should.
Yeah. So. No, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, it's nice to be able to grab the best of both worlds, sort of like how they're doing with, like, 3D Studio Max and Maya. Is both software sort of getting clues from the other software and trying to improve those, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, things can get kind of weird. Like, if you've ever used Manga Studio, it, you know, like, for people, you know, it's, I've talked about before how it's cheaper, and, you know, it's different than Photoshop, and there are a lot of ways it has all these great options. You can do 3D stuff, you can have all these kind of great rulers that do perspective and all these great brushes and all kinds of great stuff. But then you realize there's all these menus. And after a while, it's like, there's just menu after menu, and I don't know what I'm looking at anymore. It's like, this thing I want to do is hidden behind this other thing, and it's like, I got to hunt it down. It's like, there's all these great options to change stuff, but it kind of complicates it in its own way, too.
Yeah. Well, we could probably do, like, a whole nother episode one time of just, like, getting into doing like UI customization on the software and editing the menus and the keyboard shortcuts and stuff, you know?
Yeah, some apps, like, you can change the workspace where it's like, you know, have my stage and then have, you know, all the frames and, you know, like, Animate Pro has that where you can have, you know, do you want a timeline at the bottom or do you want the X sheet, you know, all these different things. And you can, and Photoshop does a similar thing. Like, Photoshop and Illustrator, I think, do workspaces like that where it's like, I'm a designer, I want it to look this way. Or I'm, you know, or like at Flash, it's like, I'm an animator and I want it to work this way. Or I work on UI and I want it to look this way.
Yeah.
And you can swap them. It's a cool thing to have, but it's also, if you've never used the program, it's like, ah!
Yeah. Well, some people actually get down to actually putting like custom stickers on their keyboards for like Premiere or something.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into just like video editing, you know?
Oh, well, there are like things you can overlay your keys for using like Final Cut, so it'll color code them, so you can just go you know. Then again, I've seen people like take off all the lettering on their keyboards because they think they're so pro.
Yeah,
okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. One thing that's cool though is you ever look at some of those keyboards where you can actually control like the illuminated keyboards where you can actually control the color for each key. And you could set up different profiles for, like, each application to change the color, you know?
Yeah, I think Chris Perillo did a video on one of those when he got, like, I forget the name of it, but it would basically have a miniature LED screen on each key. So, like, he had, like, a Rickroll key. Oh, man.
That's crazy, man. That could come in handy, though, because I'd rather be able to just change the light instead of having to change, like, a sticker on the keys, you know?
Well, I mean, that sounds cool and everything until you have to actually... until you had to pay for it. I mean, I have an old Wacom tablet that, like, you know, you could set the express keys on the top or whatever, and it came with like where I think you're supposed to either pencil it in, or it came with like a thing where you slip in a piece of paper to write the keys on. I just took a piece of tape and wrote shift space key. It's like, I'm never gonna remember this.
Yeah. Well, I guess wrapping up, the last thing I thought we could sort of talk about a little bit is just like streaming your organized media a little bit and getting into like media servers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I talked about Plex, you know, which is what I use for the Roku, because if you have an Apple TV and you have a Mac, you know, just have iTunes. It recognizes it that way. The Roku required Plex server to be set up. I believe certain devices will let you look at your media that way. iOS requires a Plex app to open it, and it's like, and that costs money, so it's like, no, that's fine. I've got a number of free server things that'll do that. Like, I've got when I first got my iPhone and I wanted to stream my library from my hard drive to my phone, before home sharing was really a stable and popular thing, I bought a Stream2Me that'll do it. And now that my iTunes home sharing doesn't quite work like it should, I think that was a good little $5 investment. So, but now that I've got the Plex Media server installed, it's like, I might just buy the Plex app. I don't know. I mean, that's the nice thing about iOS apps is they're usually affordably priced if you decide to buy them. It's just if you decide to buy a whole bunch at one time, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if I want to stream stuff, it depends on the device you're streaming to, but if you have a smart TV, which I do, but it only has like limited apps on there, but you can do Netflix and stuff and like whatever you can stream from whatever server you have up set up on your network. But a lot of times I just stream to my Xbox 360, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the different kind of ones that I've seen on there, like as far as media servers, is there's Ampachi, there's Adobe Flash Media Server, there's Icecast, Logitech Media Server, PlayOn, and then like you said, Plex Home Theater, and then the PS3 Media Server is a popular one.
There's also Xbox Media Server.
Yeah.
That's pretty popular.
But you can use it for, specifically for that, I guess. There's QuickTime Broadcaster,
which I've had that, and I don't know if it's still being supported. I don't know what's going on with QuickTime. I don't know what that's Remember we talked to Kyle and he was talking about MOV files are not a thing now, I guess, with certain programs. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's, what?
Yeah. Oh, man. I guess you could do some kind of media streaming with Shoutcast, I guess.
Yeah, Shoutcast is, you know, it depends on, you know, if you got Winamp, you can play, you can just stream music. Like, I talked about this on how to stream music on the podcast a while back. If you've got a Mac, you can just get Nicecast. It, make your own little radio thing. It'll, you know, you can stream on the internet and around your house with it. And it works with Shoutcast and Icecast, I believe. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was playing around a little while ago. I was using T-Versity Media Server, and I think I played around a little bit with Unreal Media Server. There's also VLC Media Player. You can stream stuff through there, I guess.
I've tried it. The thing is, though, like, for Macs, a lot of the VLCs, things like, you know, it had a list of Shoutcast channels for a while, and then it didn't. And like, I think you can stream with the Mac on VLC, but setting it up is a little confusing. So I don't know.
Yeah. And then there's Windows Media Encoder, I guess, so you can stream stuff just through the Windows. You can set stuff up with that, I guess, and then, Windows Media Player.
And then, of course, you know, like I said before, there's, you know, streaming sites, you know, just in TV, you stream all that stuff, but it's like, you know, those things anymore are getting smart, and if they see you trying to broadcast somebody else's stuff, it's like, hey, we know that now. But I mean, you could just do a private server and stream to your, you know, from your, you know, one end of your house to another for a party or something. I don't know.
Yeah. There's also... Yeah, that would be interesting.
There's also
Wowza Media Server. I never tried that, but Wowza. Yeah, what do you think about just the whole culture of, I guess, of just like trying to... Because I've seen several YouTube videos on setting up like home media server, setting up like a whole server rack or like just a whole computer with a keyboard and mouse. You have Jerry rig next to your TV to stream stuff to it. You know, it's crazy some of the rigs that you see for just home streaming, you know?
Well, I mean, I remember when the Apple TV first came out, people were like, okay, so I can get this little device that has a preset, you know, thing like that, or I could get a computer that actually has the OS X, you know, the Mac Mini, and just make that into a media server, and it's, you know, in the long run, it lets you do more because you can actually, like, you know, watch all kinds of internet content on it. I don't know. It's, you know, you can get lost in the idea of, like, oh, this is cool, and it's like, you know, it sounds great until you realize you set it all up in 1 year, and then the next year it's like, oh, there's all these new devices and all these new things that you can't work into the thing to rig it. So it's like, I don't know. Like, adding, you know, if you get an Apple TV and then there are people that hack it to add all kinds of stuff, or you get, you know, a Roku with the different stuff, you know, people put all kinds of different, you know, rig things up to get all kinds of different media and stuff onto their device, and it's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy.
I mean, I'd like to store all my library on my computer, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, there's a whole bunch of stuff already out there on the internet. Why do I?
Yeah.
It's like, it'd just be easier to connect to a server like, you know, a thing like Amazon or Hulu Plus or Netflix or something and see material already there. Don't have to go through the whole waiting for it to write, getting in the right folder.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely many levels of organization, and it could get to a point where you're just being too much OCD and you're being too much of a digital hoarder, I guess. You know.
Well, you can get so obsessed in, you know, organizing your content that you don't enjoy it. So
Yeah, definitely. Being a digital hoarder. Some people just like hoard or download tutorials and never watch them, you know.
Well, it's like, there are some people, man, it's like, I'm sure in college you've probably known a few people that, like, they aren't very organized or whatever, but their roommate is OCD and will go through their computer and tag all their files for them and do all kinds of crazy things. And because they have to be that way, some people. And
yeah,
it's like, I know. I'm like, don't touch my computer. Don't touch my stuff. That's kind of me. So
yeah, definitely, man. Looking back on this year, though, I mean, are you happy with just the way you've organized your time and your life and what else would you sort of like to do to that would help you be more productive, I guess?
Well, productivity, I'd really like to be able to get to bed early, and I'd really like to be able to get up early, and I'd like to be able to relax when I work. And yeah. I think it's going to make me turn into a bit of a dick to some people. I'm just going to have to go, look, man, I'm sorry. I need some me time. This.
Yeah.
So.
That's a shout out to everybody out there. Leave me alone. Leave Ben alone.
Well, it's going to reach a point where, I'm just going to say, hey, everybody, I'm out for a few days, and I'm just going to go radio silent, and you're not going to see me posting on anything, and I'm just going to be in my studio making art and not talking to anybody because I'm turning into a hermit. I must escape.
Yeah, go out to the woods.
I mean, I don't even know if it's really just people as so much as, maybe I'm just overly, anxious when people expect me to talk to them, and it's like I get, okay, we're gonna meet up this weekend, all right, and then for that entire night before, I'm like, I can't sleep, I gotta get up tomorrow, we gotta do the thing, and we're gonna do, we were just gonna hang out. why am I waking out? So I don't know. How about you, Ian?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty organized with stuff. But I guess my days usually, my schedule isn't organized, sometimes I just will do random things and then get distracted by a certain kind of project. I couldn't imagine doing the same kind of art every day, I like to do texturing or 3D modeling, and then I get distracted. I get man, I could be writing something to make this part of my job a lot easier. So I end up doing that, and then 3 months later, I'm want to get back into the artwork, after coding so much,
Yeah, I know the feeling, man. It's sometimes stuff just happens, and it's it's that's when it becomes office stuff, where it's like the editing. It's I really enjoy making these episodes, but then it's we get four of them, and it's I've got to sit and edit this. And it's I really want to draw today, and it's oh no, I need to get this done. And that's how it is with a lot of stuff. It's if I want to make art, it's I need to make a list of the things I want to make art of, and then give myself the days where I can just be free. I'm free.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't blame you at all for wanting to have some Ben time, man. You do all this stuff, you're overloaded, man. Give the guy a break.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just do what you need to get done, and you're still going to be there afterwards,
Hopefully, if one day I just don't turn into, Beaker from the Muppets and walk around without the head.
Oh, dude. But, no, I mean, that's definitely a work in progress, your life, Like you said, don't get caught up too much in just trying to be organized. You want to remember what your passion is,
Yeah.
But
It's important to remember what it is you actually care about, and if you realize that there's been a long time of, I've been doing either stuff for other people, or I've been doing this other thing, and it's what happened to that thing that I really love?
Yeah.
That's why every Monday I try to think of it as okay, I'm setting out a list, this is, this week I will work on this thing. And then by the end of the week, I'm usually, it punched me in the eye and stole my lunch money. And it's by Sunday I'm relaxing and going, okay, next Monday we're gonna get this one. And then it's I try to break the week and break the months into the weeks into different projects, and it's like eating food. People say grapes are great because every grape, it's you get an apple, if it's rotten, it's rotten, but you get a grape, there's a bad grape, but then there's opportunity, there's another one, there's another. So
yeah, a lot of it comes down to just discipline, I guess. I mean, that's what got me into your podcast, is just time management,
Mm-hmm. Are you sure it wasn't my beautiful bassy voice? You can be honest.
Yeah, you're right. That was it. No, you do have a good radio voice, man.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Yeah. probably anybody that's going to be listening to this episode, they're just going to probably just do the opposite. But we might as well just say, just dump all your files into your system folder, you know, with all your other DLLs and whatever your computer needs to run it. Just dump all your media files in there, right?
Computer? Psh, all the cool kids are writing on index cards now. I don't know, man. But yeah, I don't know, man. We've been talking for a good while now, and it's like, if we're talking about time management, we should probably call it a, you know, because we got blog posts to write and episodes to edit and this one to, you know, put together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is there anything else that you want to add to that, just wrapping up, because this is pretty much the end of the year now.
Yeah, this is the last episode that's going to air in 2013. Yep. We've got one more episode, though, that's going to air after, you know, in 2014, you know, which is going to be our New Year's New Year's episode. I think that should be the one where we get back with Kyle and talk with him about, see what how his year's gone, and we can, you know, like, I don't want to do the whole, oh, we're gonna take over the world next year. No, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, because I think they're kind of silly. It's like, I kind of go, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm gonna improve, I guess. Yeah, one of those. It's like, I just try and say I'm gonna do a little bit better, and like, here's where I messed up. Try not to do so much of this. And it's kind of like a really big Monday for me. It's like, okay, so in 2014, oh boy. People hate Mondays, but I actually look forward to them, because the weekends are just a lot of everybody wants to do whatever, and you can't get any real organized thing done. And then It's like, Monday is back to the grindstone, and everyone's shrugging, going, oh man. And it's like, if you love what you do, you should enjoy Mondays. And I want to make every day awesome Monday.
Yeah.
Where we paint happy little trees. Right, Ian?
Right. Now, this brings up another point of what we discussed off air, is we might do another episode on just like how you deal with depression and staying productive during that time. And you were saying that when you start feeling like you're depressed or getting down, that's the time where you know you really should get to sleep. And then when you wake up, it's like a whole new day. There's a lot that you can do for that day, you know. There's a lot of potential for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, back when I was in college and stuff, you had to pull a lot of all-nighters, and you know, I would constantly get depressed, and then it's like, I started realizing when I would just work on my own time, it's like, oh, hey, if I start feeling depressed, just go to bed, because anytime, you know, the thing is, it's like, as down as you might feel one night, a good night's sleep, and you wake up the next day, it's like, you forgot everything that happened that night before, and it's like, hey, you know what? I mean, it might not be 100% better, but it's like, you know, 10% or so, and it's like enough of those, well, tomorrow's another day. After a while, it's like, hey, you know that crappy thing that happened like 6 months ago? I'm over it.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to sleep, getting a good night's sleep, I think that's the best thing for you, is going to bed. I really like getting up early, but you have to get up early, you have to go to bed early. And my biggest tip is, you know, full spectrum bulbs. Because I used to get, you know, the winter blues, or I guess the sads, some people call them, you know, seasonal affective disorder. I don't know if I'd call it that or not, but, you know, I always felt kind of blue. And it's like, you get the daylight bulbs, and it's like a white or a blue light, and it's like, this doesn't really feel like daylight. I mean, it's better than that yellow light, I suppose. You get the full spectrum bulbs, it's always like 3 p.m. in my studio. If I don't look out my window and see it's pitch black outside, it's like, oh, hey, it's night, I should probably go to bed. So, yeah. I mean, if I got something on my mind, it might rub on me. But if I'm just working in my studio, working on stuff, it's like, oh, hey, it's time for bed. So.
Yeah. No, definitely, that's important to have good lighting. I mean, I remember back at AIP, everybody would just, like, in the computer labs, it'd just be like, they'd have all the blinds closed, and it'd just be totally dark with glowing monitors, you know?
It'd just be a lair.
Yeah, definitely. But like you said, tomorrow's another day. Is there anything that you wanted to say? You were talking about, are we going to see a live stream from you this year, or what are you thinking about that?
I'm thinking about doing it. The thing is, though, it's like, I'd have to look for public domain films and everything, so I'd say just, you know, keep an eye on the site. I'll mention if I decide to do it, because it might be like halfway through the, you know, December, and I might go, No. Not too much work. Or I might actually get invited to a party. That you never know. People might want to talk to me. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be it for this week. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all on the other side.
Happy New Year.
Happy 2014. And God bless us, everyone. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.